Chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, is where I want to begin. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Peter does the writing here, and Peter talks about those who have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then he says those people who had escaped from that are again entangled in them and overcome. And he says the worst, the end, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. And then he says this, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to its wallowing in the mire. Here we have a man that if anybody can teach us about backsliding, it's Peter. And you're going to see a lot in his epistles about that very thing. He knows what he's talking about. And here in these verses, he is warning us not only of the possibility of us backsliding or falling away from the Lord, he also shows the serious consequences of it. So much so that he says it would be better to have never known it than to know it and depart from it. And so we see the seriousness of always staying with the Lord all the days of our lives. Peter had not done that on one occasion. And he uses these verses and other verses to warn us about that very kind of thing so that we don't make some of the same mistakes as he made. All of this happened on the night that he denied Jesus three times, cursing and swearing, I don't even know the man. The reason it's important for us to look at lives like Peter is because I think most of us, if you ask most Christians, what person among the apostles would you say that you can most identify with? I think most people would say, well, it's just Peter. I'm a lot like him myself. And so it's good for us to look at him and see the things that he shows us here. The process of backsliding is a gradual one. I don't know hardly anybody who's staunchly faithful one moment and just gone the next. It just doesn't happen that way. It's a gradual kind of thing. And you can see that process in what happened to Peter. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at what happened with Peter, the things that were involved in his backsliding or falling away from the Lord for a period of time. But then we're also going to look at some things that he will share with us in his epistles that can serve as preventative from that happening to us. The first thing that we see about Peter, I think that was the very beginning of his backsliding, was his pride. In Mark, the 14th chapter, he gets a bit boastful here as if there's nothing that could ever happen to him. He's Superman spiritually, if you will. And by the way, you might just take your marker and mark it there in Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 27, Jesus begins to try to prepare his disciples for his upcoming crucifixion. In verse 27, it says, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But look at Peter's pride. Look at his arrogance. He says that Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And I want to tell you, he's in the company of some good people. James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Andrew. If all these fall, I will not. I will never be made to stumble. Can you hear the pride? And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently and he said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Pride. A man who thinks that he's sort of bulletproof here and nothing could ever cause him to deny the Lord. That's the first step in falling away. Now, I'm not saying we ought not to have the spirit of I'm determined to stand strong for the Lord. Absolutely, we need that. But to say I will never is the first step in falling away. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter and verse 18, we have that familiar verse that we've heard a lot in our lives. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. That certainly applies to Peter, didn't it? Pride went before his destruction and his haughty spirit went right before his fall. Why would I say that pride is the first step in falling away? Well, one of the reasons I say that is because humility is the first step in becoming a Christian. You remember Jesus on one occasion said, except you be converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this little child. And so the very beginning thing in us becoming strong Christians is that we're humble people. We must always be humble and realize how much we need the Lord and how much we need to rely on Him. And the first step in falling away is when you think, I can't possibly fall away from the Lord. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. It's a great warning verse as he's speaking to the Corinthian brethren. He said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, concerning all those things that had happened to those who went before them, he says, all these things happened to them as examples. I've told you about the Israelites falling, and I told you that as an example, and they are written for our admonition on whom the ends of the ages have come. But let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And so Paul's words fit very well right there. Don't get so cocky that you think that you could never, ever, ever sin against the Lord and have a weak moment and begin to digress in your relationship with Him. Let him who thinks he stands, in fact, that's the man who's most vulnerable, the man who thinks, I stand, take heed lest you fall. Determined, yes. Cocky, no. And yet that's where Peter is. Even after the Lord tells him, you're going to deny me three times, he has the audacity to argue with Jesus about it. And so you see that it all begins with pride. The next thing you see is that he gets a little lazy and he doesn't watch like he should. I feel real strongly about this point. As Christians, we have the ability to look at ourselves. And we need to, on a daily basis, be asking ourselves, where am I? The things that I am going to be doing today, where I'm going to go today, and the people I'm going to be with, and the things that are going to be happening around me, what are the vulnerabilities today? If Satan was going to come after me today, how would he come after me today? Folks, we have to stay awake and we have to stay alert all the time. And Peter fails to do that. One of the reasons he doesn't watch is because he thinks he can't fall. If you don't think you can fall, you're not going to watch. If a football team thinks it can't lose, it's in trouble. Because they're going to play somebody that has nothing else to play for except pride, and they're going to show them a thing or two. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? Where somebody just kind of lets their guard down because they, first of all, have pride, but then they fail to pay attention to the things that matter. Go back to Mark 14 again. We pick it up now in verse 32. Then they came to a place that was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. And then verse 37, he came and he found them sleeping. And yet he had told them, watch. And he comes and he finds them sleeping. And he says to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And then these words, the spirit is truly willing. He knew that about Peter. He had heard the bold claims about Peter. Your spirit is willing. Your spirit is determined to never fall. But he says, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And he went away and prayed the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy and they didn't know what to answer him. He came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? And then these words, he says, it is enough. It's almost like he's saying, if that's the kind of strength that you want to have to meet the tempter, come on. It's enough. You can sense his exasperation with them. Because Peter not only has had pride, he is not watching. He has no idea what's coming. He's not even thinking about what could be coming. He's not preparing for what is coming. And we have to be careful because we can be caught off just as well. Turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke, the 21st chapter, beginning in verse 34. This is talking actually about the destruction of Jerusalem and how that they need to be prepared for that moment, but it has application, I think, to the end of the world. And look at how we need to be living our lives, folks. Verse 34. Take heed to yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. I mentioned to you the other day that I've had funerals to do recently, and one was unexpected. Hit head on and boom, it's over. And so we have to know that we got to be ready at all times. And we don't need to let ourselves be weighed down with things that we don't need to be doing. As it says here in verse 36, don't let your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Sometimes we just get so wrapped up in things we don't need to be wrapped up in, and boom, the day comes unexpectedly and catches us unprepared because we're not watching. And so we have to watch. And one of the reasons we need to watch most carefully is because it is gradual. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. It's probably one of the better passages. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says that we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Some versions say, lest we let them slip. I kind of picture somebody who's out fishing. Maybe he's gone down here to Joe Wheeler and he's going to fish around the dam. I don't know much about that, but I would think there's probably some sections of that you might not need to get too close to. And you have to watch lest there's a drift. You set anchors so you can be firm. But sometimes what happens is that we don't realize it, but there's things happening in our lives and we're just drifting a little bit further and further and further away from the Lord, and yet still deceived and thinking we're strong, and yet we've just drifted so far. That's the second thing that Peter fell victim to. Number one was pride. Number two was his lack of watchfulness. And that leads, I think, easily to the next step. He gets caught off guard. He hasn't braced himself for what's coming, and he's going to fall a victim to cowardice. He's going to fall a victim to peer pressure. Back to Mark 14 again. Mark 14 and verse 54, do you see what it says? It says that Peter followed him at a distance. This is the same man that basically sounded like, I'll be right there. If all are made to stumble, I'll never be made to stumble. I'm with you. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm all in. And yet, here, not really ready for the events that took place. They've come, they've captured Jesus, they've taken him, they've arrested him, and Peter follows at a distance. Pretty easy to follow Jesus when he's popular. It's real easy to follow Jesus when you got 5,000 people coming and they all want a piece of him. You can get right in there beside him and say, yeah, this is my master. But when he becomes unpopular and you've got the crowds against him, then all of a sudden it's a different ballgame. And Peter stays just far enough away to hopefully not be identified with him. He's not ready to face the ridicule and the persecution. And listen, folks, if we don't prepare, we can be guilty of the same thing. Would you ever be ashamed of carrying a Bible? Well, not to church, you know. That's what we all do. But would you carry one in a doctor's office when you're going to be sitting in the waiting room for, 20 or 30 minutes? Would you feel ashamed to be found sitting in there reading your Bible a little while in those moments? Would you be ashamed to be seen carrying a Bible? What about ashamed to be seen giving thanks? I remember one time I went to eat with a couple. They were Christians. Maybe they had what they thought was sufficient motivation, but it was so awkward to me. We sat down to eat the meal, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of waiting, and I guess they realize I'm waiting for something here, and they said, well, Brother Jeff, if you'd like to give thanks, just go ahead. Said, we don't do that in public. And I said, okay. And so I prayed and gave thanks for my food. It may be that they were taking wrong the words of Jesus about not doing things to be seen, like Pharisees that stand on the street corner praying so they can be seen by men. Maybe they were trying to safeguard against that. I don't know. And if that's the motivation, I don't think that's what Jesus was trying to say. But I might can pick up on that a little bit. But I tell you what I do remember. I remember Paul one time was on a ship and things were really bad. And the Bible says that he had food and he lifted his eyes toward heaven and he gave thanks in the presence of them all. But what about you? Are you ashamed to be seen giving thanks? Maybe ashamed to be seen with other Christians. Don't really want people to know that these are my people. Perhaps even ashamed to let others know that we are Christians. How does Jesus feel about that kind of cowardice? In Mark the 8th chapter and verse 38, look at what he says. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Pretty scary verse here. Jesus says in verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He pretty well says, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And who of us can forget Revelation 21:8? You know, I read some things in Revelation 21:8 that don't bother me too much, because I know that I'm not guilty of those things and never have been. But there's one thing that's said in Revelation 21 and verse 8, among those that he says will enter into the everlasting fire, the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. He says the cowardly. The cowardly. And I don't know what that could mean except those moments when I needed to speak up or stand up, stand with him, and I was just a coward. It looks like to me that's a quick ticket for hell. The cowardly. Those moments when we're not willing to stand up and be counted for the Lord. All right, and so what do we got here? The first thing we see in him is that he had pride. Then he just doesn't watch to be ready for the things that came down the line. And then he falls victim to this cowardice or this peer pressure. And that leads him, because he feels the peer pressure, it causes him to fall right in with the world. Again in Mark 14. Look at what it says again in verse 54. Not only did it say that Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, but it says he sat with the servants and he warmed himself at the fire. One of the versions says that Peter sat among them. By the way, that tells me something. It matters where you sit. And you need to pay attention with where you're sitting. Look at who you're sitting with. And think about the things that can happen when you are sitting among people that are going to affect you. He sits and mingles with those of the world here. He enjoys the comfort of their fire. And as he was comforted by their fire, he thought that he couldn't be burned. But boy, it happens. And so we have to be careful about that kind of thing. Look at Proverbs the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 29. We see that close contact with something that can cause us harm truly has its effects. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. You can't take fire to your bosom and not be burned. And we've used 1 Corinthians 15 many times. It shows that you just can't flirt with the world. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. And so what happens is so many times we go through these stages, and because of peer pressure we fall in with people of the world, with their influences, and that will lead to a final step. The final step was he just flat out denies the Lord. And you think, how in the world did he ever get there? Well, first of all, he said he couldn't ever get there. He wasn't watchful. He turned into a coward. He sat with the world, and the next thing you know, he denies the Lord three times and does the very thing that he swore he'd never do. Again, look at Mark 14 now, beginning in verse 66. In verse 66, it says, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it and said, I neither know what you're saying nor understand what you're saying. And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech shows it. But he began to curse and to swear and said, I do not know the man of whom you speak. So here he is away from Christ. He's got the comforts of the world there around his fire. And he finds himself denying the Lord. And you know as well as I do that that puts him in grave danger. I don't care if he is Peter. He has just denied the Lord. And Jesus himself said plainly in Matthew the 10th chapter, verse 32 and 33, that whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. He is in grave, grave danger. You may be saying, well, I have never said that I don't believe in Jesus. You can deny Jesus with more than your mouth. Sometimes you can deny him by what you don't say. Those moments when you should have spoken up and you didn't, and you just let whatever was going on just slide. We can deny him by our life as well as by our words. Sometimes we're called to worship him, but we make excuses as to why we can't. We're called to serve him, but we don't render much service. We're called to stand by his side and suffer for his name, but we stand afar off in the safety of the world's comfort. You see, we can kind of do the same thing that Peter did. And we'll just say right here that if it ends right here, it's over. If this story ends right here for Peter, it's over. But the thing is, when he realized his sin, the rooster crowed that third time, and the Bible says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And that's in Luke 22. In Luke 22, beginning in verse 60. Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. That's one of those moments you just kind of need to stop and just kind of picture Jesus turning and making eye contact. Always wondered what that look was like. Turned and looked at Peter. I know what the effect was. It says in verse 61 that Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He went out and he wept bitterly as he thought about the eyes of the Savior looking at his. Judas denied him too. He went out and hung himself. The good thing is that we later find Peter coming to the Lord in true repentance. We find him willing to confess three times the very thing that he had denied. He finds the Lord again. He finds his way back to his side. And I want to tell you, after that, he became a force to be reckoned with. On the day of Pentecost, you don't find a coward. On the day of Pentecost, you don't find a man caving into peer pressure. On the day of Pentecost, you don't find a man caught up in the world. On the day of Pentecost, you don't find a man denying the Lord. He is as strong as a man ever was. But he knew how a person could backslide. In the little bit of time that we have left, let's just look at a few things now that we see in Peter's writings. You can almost sense that he's throwing things in 1st and 2nd Peter that kind of addresses what happened to him. Remember, we said it all started with pride. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's going to help the humble man. Peter had not been that. It seems he addresses that there. What about the lack of watchfulness? Look at what he says here in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Again, a man who had not been watchful, a man who had stumbled. He says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant." That means be watchful. Man, you look at what he's saying now. "Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, be steadfast in the faith, knowing that you have the same sufferings that are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Be strong. Look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, just the next epistle. "For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Give all diligence, he says. Verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble." And then chapter 3 and verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." A man who had not been very diligent now says, "Be diligent, be diligent, be diligent." And then he's cowardice. Seems that he addresses that in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. "If anyone suffers as a Christian, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Let him not be ashamed. Had he been? Yeah. But listen to him now. "Let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God in this matter." When you are made fun of as a Christian, when you suffer as a Christian, glorify God in this matter. And then worldliness. In 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, he says, "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." Do you hear him? "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." Folks, we get too wrapped up. I do too. We get so wrapped up in this world and the things of this world, and all of it's not bad. But the thing he is saying right here is that you must never forget, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I beg you to have the mindset of a pilgrim and a sojourner. Don't get caught up in this stuff down here. It's all temporary. It's all going to go away. One day there's going to be a trumpet blast and it's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to go away. Don't get too wrapped up. Worldliness. Can you see how he's addressing everything in his fall, in his epistle? And then last of all, denial of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That means give God His place. You sanctify God in your hearts, and you be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. By the way, we've used that verse to say, now you need to study your Bible so that when people ask you a Bible question, you'll be ready to answer. Well, I think we ought to do that. But that's not what that verse said. That verse said you be ready to give an answer, not to a Bible question. You be ready to give an answer. You be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. What this is about is they're asking you, why do you do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you tick like you tick? You be ready to give an answer for why you stand where you stand. And so there's the idea of standing strong and not caving in those moments and not feeling like a coward. But let them know, I'll tell you why I believe what I believe. Sit down, we got a few minutes, let's talk. That's the idea. That's the idea. Peter has traveled that hard road of experience, and he's trying to let us know not to go down that road. As we finish now in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Do you not think he's thinking back to what he had done? You know these things. You need to beware lest you fall. Don't be led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was fortunate for Peter that when he sinned, his eyes met the eyes of the Lord. He literally looked Jesus in the face. And on that day when he looked Jesus in the face, it pricked his heart and he was given opportunity to repent. Did you know you're going to look Jesus in the face too one day? You're going to look Jesus in the eyes. His eyes are going to meet your eyes. But there's a difference in these two occasions. Peter saw the eyes of Jesus and had time to repent. When you see the eyes of Jesus, literally, you won't have time to repent. It'll be over. So see, you got to take care of that business now. So this morning, if you have been listening carefully and you look at this and you're guilty of backsliding, why not repent now? Don't wait until you look into the eyes of Jesus. Do it now so that your face-to-face encounter with Jesus will be terrific and not terrifying. Can I say that again? When you look into the eyes of Jesus, you want it to be terrific, not terrifying. If you're not right with God, get right with God today. We're going to sing this song now to encourage you. Come together while we stand and as we sing.